Tonight, I want us to look at our biblical focus on conflicting spirits. One thing about conflicting spirits, each of us as an individual, we understand that we have a whole lot of conflicting spirits within our own mind. All the do's, the don'ts, and the can'ts, and the wills, and the wants, but the conflicting spirit basically of do I do this or do I not do this? And I'm not talking necessarily about wrong and good and wrong and all of this. I'm talking about each of us find ourselves in conflict on a daily basis, correct? We have something that is conflicting within our life. Sometimes we're looking at it for some unknown reason. Everything seems to be going against me today. The conflicting spirits of life itself, or in general, family problems, community problems, nation problems, church problems. How do we focus on conflicting spirits? Number one, we must, folks, focus on testing the spirits. To test the spirits. God had let us know that, you know, just the basic wisdom and for the knowledge of man, when you are dealing with another individual, when you are focusing on, okay, I want to know what's right and what's true. First of all, if you're going to be talking to someone about spiritual matters or Christian concerns, I just told somebody to do this not long ago to an individual during a voting process on this individual. And this guy asked me, said, what should I do? And I said, try the Spirit to see if it is of God. Test the Spirit. Now listen to John, 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. I may read that again. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. From the beginning of the age, there have been anti-messiahs, anti-Christ, anti-God. It is nothing new. There were the multiple antichrists. Anybody that is not supporting Christianity is an anti-Christian. So that's the antichrist. And John said there's many already in the world. Will there be that ultimate antichrist that we know of? Certainly there will. But you and I are not, we do not know who it is. And you're not going to be able to discern who it is, because the Antichrist is going to be veiled as a light. The Antichrist will be the one that comes. Well, the Scripture says, be able to raise the dead. He'll be able to do many, many type of miracles. And it doesn't take much to convince a society of non-believers by a few magic tricks, the sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors. Actually, a whole lot of things are done in smoke and mirror type of a focus. But that's not of God. Now, here was a question that was brought up in class 1,000 years ago with me, and that was, will these people themselves, the multiple antichrists, will these people be able to fool people by the actions of supposedly they say it's from God, and they'll perform these miracles. Well, the professor said, yes, the scripture says that that is going to go on. But what we were all worried about during those times, that's why that we're told not to deal with the sorcerers and the necronomicism and all of the deal of the spiritualists that come and want to do the seances over the grave and raise them from the dead. As I've told you all, I've always thought it'd be sort of cool knowing that that crew was going to the cemetery. Just go a little bit early. Get the dirt. It's, not too deep on me. Don't want that. But just to see what the reaction would be if at a certain point. Now, that might be mischievous from my point, but I dare say that I could picture me now, Randy, wallowing on the ground laughing. Well, where'd they go? Anyway, test the spirit. Try the spirit to see if it is of God. If it is of God, remember this. Do not go against an individual or the word of God because you're going to lose. That's why that we need to be careful when they say, well, can you believe that individual is preaching? Can you believe that individual truly had been called by God? And I said, if that individual says they're called by God, you leave them alone, because I guarantee you, if they're not, God will take care of it. But you do not have any business of going against that individual. Testing the spirit, you do that. Every one of us do that all the time. Hey, how many times you've been talking to a person and after you're talking to them and you're listening to them and you just have already drawn the conclusion in your mind, I know good and well they're lying. I know good and well they're making it up as they go along. That's testing the spirit. Now, don't push that spirit, because a lot of times if you do, you get them in a corner and they want to fight back. They do horrible things to innocent people. I'm talking about people who are mean, people who want to con. More of that going on in our community right now than you can imagine. I told you all about the two that went to mom's house. But the scams go month after month after month, and the poor older people still fall for it. And they are those type of spirits. When you will talk, have you been talking to somebody that as they talk, they'll tell you, I love Jesus. You don't understand, preacher, how much I love Jesus. If you have to keep telling me how much you love Jesus, you got a problem with it. The love of Christ is seen in the actions of the individual. And the love of Christ, the spirit of Christ, is a spirit that continually moves, a spirit that makes a difference in other people's lives. That is the spirit of Christ. And if someone has to keep trying to convince you that they're really a solid Christian, they really have a problem then. You're going to have to say, well, let's pray about this. Let's talk about it. And the spirits that seem to come out in front as being for Christ or such a great worker for Christ, how do you know when they are not? How do you know that those individuals are not working like they say they are? Their actions will tell you. If what they're doing is not biblical, if it's not biblical in the focus that they're doing, that's you and I must study all the time. We must seek God's wisdom in His Word at all times, or else we will be sucked into this. I've had I don't know how many inmates over the years. They got saved every other day. They were saved and lost and saved and lost. And within the spirit, you would hear their distrust or they use God's name. They use the name Christian as it suits them. But then if they're in a group that are anti-Christian, you can't tell them from the rest of the group. Number two, one biblical focus on conflicting spirits. Focus on surrendering your body to God for spiritual worship. Therefore, if I am spiritual, as being a spiritual being, then and driving this vehicle, our body, then what the scripture is telling us to do as Christians, we are to surrender our body to service. It's service to God and for God and for the Word. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy, remember, holy, set apart for God's service, and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Oh, to worship is an action. And to worship is spiritual. You and I cannot worship God, truly worship God, without worshiping God in spirit. He must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Truth is Jesus. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit that is within us. We have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, and it is His Holy Spirit that is giving us the wisdom from God, and we are to take this body. God calls you to preach, preach. God calls you to teach, teach. But do not mess around. Do not play games. Do not pretend that you are going to, that God has called you to preach when He hasn't called you to preach. Those kind of warnings I've put out many times to people. Be careful. What's the proof? I heard it as proof is in the pudding. Or when in my day and age, when you go to the preacher, say, "Preacher, God's called me to preach." And the preacher says, "Good, you fill the pulpit next Sunday." And if it is of God, you'll fill the pulpit next Sunday. And if not, you will be there and you will feel, be uneasy, and you will not be filling the pulpit with the gospel. You look at it this way too. Remember when God first calls us, though. Here's what people think. They think when you're called to teach, you're called to preach, that all of a sudden, that and when you're called to preach, that individuals want to think, you or the individual who says they're called, they try to tell everybody, "I know everything now because God's called me to preach." That, in fact, is proof. For one thing, they have no idea what they're talking about, but they could also be doing that because of the tradition of the times. Meaning they're not doing it out of a bad nature or an anti-Christian nature. They're just doing it because they were raised. Every one of us were raised in churches, and each one had different type of traditions, and it didn't matter whether those traditions were biblically based. If the great-granddaddy or great-grandmammy is the one that started the tradition, as part of the church. But when you and I are touched by God for any, and all of us are, every one of us have a ministry, folks. You cannot say, "I don't know what God's going to do with me," or "I don't know what God wants me to do." You're doing it. God knows us, and when all He wants from me and wants from you is a surrendered spirit. Larry, I didn't tell you needed to know everything, and I'm so glad that He didn't tell me that. Because I'm dumb as a box of rocks. And, you know, I know that I'm called to preach. So what do I do now, Lord? Study. Study. And, okay, what else do I do? Study. Remember me telling you about a friend, Dr. George Redding, one of my professors that I just love dearly. again, I had that group of professors that wrote the books. The professors, they wrote the studies for the Southern Baptist Convention, the Sunday School and all, and to get to study under them. But the question that I asked that time, how many years have you been preaching? And it comes to me now because I'm going on 2015 will be 40 years that since I've been called. And I see now what he meant when he gave me this answer. He said, I've been preaching, I studied for 20 years and been preaching for 40. But Brother Vance, if I had it to do over, I would have studied for 40 years and preached for 20. And you know, right then, these spirits were the kind of spirits that any student would just love, because you knew they cared about you and cared about the gospel. And that really bothered me. I thought, why would he say that? Why would he say that? Because of all of the differences that he has made through the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the churches being a full professor and all. And now, 40 years later, after preaching, I do see that. Because I don't care if you do study for the 20 years. Folks, the gospel and the one little book that we have called the Bible, sometimes you got to look at it this way, Randy. Lord, did you change that verse? I mean, I've read that verse 50 times, and now all of a sudden that verse doesn't mean what I thought it meant the last 49 times that I've read it. You get it? The scripture is alive. The holy word of God is alive and well and breathing. Therefore, you and I, when any point that we think, okay, I have this figured out, you can hear the heavenly host and the laughter that is coming forth. Oh, Father, please forgive him. He's so dumb. He just don't know any better, these humans. And the word is alive. It's the same word, but the being alive, it focuses on you, me, where I am at that time, where I am at that moment, to the depth that I can understand for that period of time. And then he says, study, keep studying, and you keep studying. And about the time again that you think, figured it out, the Lord just gets you right down on your knees and you think, Lord, am I ever going to get this? Here's our answer. You already have. See, when I said yes to Jesus and you said yes to Jesus, we've got all of Jesus we'll ever get. He can't love us any more than he already loves us. We have his ultimate love. And therefore, he is nurturing us through life. But then we get to be old people like me, and people say, well, you know, you're about ready to die. Sort of cool around. And I've told Randy several times, said, did you ever think that maybe something is not right with the way we do things when you got preachers that are out there pushing carts in Walmart, when you walk in, they say, I heard you got cancer. Have they got a pulpit search committee up yet? and you let them know, I don't think so. But you and I, when we're dealing with the spirits, remember, the Spirit of Christ continues within our heart, and we will see every verse differently every time we read it. Or let's say it this way, more powerful within that word. But the spiritual act of worship is action, okay? Number three, conflicting spirits, focus on spiritual clarity and spiritual discipline. Well, I'll do the clarity stuff. It's a lot easier than the discipline stuff, right? You find that you have a little heart, okay. Here's another thing with as I'm getting older. And you're praying.
Why are you looking at me?
Norm, I started to say we, and I realized what I was doing there. As we're getting older, I understand what God is calling and telling me to do about praying and talking to Him. And you start off praying, and you're doing great, you know it. And then you wake up about a half hour later because you fell asleep right in process of it and think, oh Lord, I just missed the answer. What did you told me to do? Have you all never got tired praying?
Never.
You've never prayed yourself to sleep?
We don't lie either.
Gosh. And then do you ever get in the midst of talking to God and lose your train of thought? Have you tried that? You're off track. You don't just lose your train of thought. You lost a whole engine. It jumped the track on you. And Chicken Little had it down, didn't he? He knew what was going on. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:32-33. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Do it this way. Again, you and I have to remember our individuality, right? The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, okay? The spirit that Christ has placed in me, His spirit, for me to do a ministry different from anyone else's ministry. You can't copy someone else's ministry, folks. You and I aren't made that way. We are created by God in His image for a specific, and it may be a multiplicity of people, but for a specific venue of individuals that you can relate to. We can relate to. Now, as we grow older, that group changes a lot of times, but the spirit that God gives the prophets, those spirits are subject to that prophet. They focus on the prophet and what the calling is. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Well, let me read this again. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And I just figured that at Corinth at this time, there were no Baptist business meetings. Or if there was, that they didn't show up that day. Think of that. If it's confusion in the church, God says, I'm not in it. He said, I'm not the author of confusion, meaning He doesn't start it. Remember how people say, well, you know, I believe God is telling me that we should excommunicate that one right there. I just believe God. And people are very loose with that. And that's not a wise move on anybody's part to have that kind of a spirit because God says I'm not the author of it. If it's confusing, God's not the author. Let's put it that way, right? Titus 3:10-11. This you don't see done much. Your pastor does it anymore because I am compelled to do that, and I felt it even in this church several times. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. The pastor or the shepherd of a flock is to be able to spot the wolves as they come in. The personalities that shepherd realizes is there to do nothing but cause trouble. And then when you see that, you warn them. You're welcome if you come in peace, but you're not welcome if you've come to cause harm or disrupt the service. And that individual is self-condemned. The judgment that we will see or witness within our life or within the life of individuals is a judgment to bring on themselves. When everyone stands before God, this is at the great white throne judgment, not at the judgment seat of Christ. At that time, which are the lost, the scripture tells us they have punished themselves. Their actions are speaking for them. Think of this, because I keep hearing some Christians use this with other Christians saying, you will answer for every idle word. It is true. The scripture says this. That answering for every idle word are for the lost, the condemnation against God. It is the idle words of saying Jesus Christ is not who he claimed to be. How do I know it's not for Christians? Nothing negative about a Christian can ever be brought in the presence of God. He said it can be. And you don't know how thankful I am, because I got a lot of idle words out there. I mean, they're still floating around. You know, I used to think that that was sort of a halfway a joke with people. You mean to tell me that God is going to remember every word? And then the NSA started. So, you know, that if they can get every little idle word that I speak, I'm sure that God has a better setup than they do, right? Here's your last one. Focus on fixing our spirit on God, not on the blame game. Fix our spirit on God. The conflicts with the spirit, with our friend's spirit, and conflicting spirit with the world. If you and I, as Christians, if we allow those spirits to get to us, we hear day in and day out, anti-Christian this. There's no such thing as God. And we hear the conflicting spirits of all of that. We are to fix our spirit on God. Why do we pay attention to those spirits that are evil and we know it? Fix our spirit on God. Well, you know, I just feel so weak because I know this is what they said. You know, they told me that I wasn't called to preach. Now my feelings are hurt. And what I would say to somebody like that, well, you must not be called to preach then, because a part of being called to preach is that you don't have any feelings. Those are gone. You don't have a right to have them. You just take it. Romans 14:13. Let us stop passing judgment on who? One another. He's talking to the church. Oh, we have to get this. Folks, scripture's written to the church. That's us. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. It is said when I hear someone jump with joy over the fall of a fellow Christian or a fellowette Christian. That's not a word it ought to be. It's not. Okay, thank you. In your brother's way, don't do something to harm them. Wayward Christians do enough to harm themselves. Don't do that. We ought to be lifting them up, shouldn't we? But be careful even doing that. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Did you notice something about the pronoun on the spirit? Who? Is that a pronoun? The spirit who? That's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Nothing you will ever find that we work for or we earned. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. Folks, it is not a degree that will deliver God's message through your mouth. It's the Spirit of God. You will meet many folk who are extremely well educated, super educated, and you've been listening to one on TV for the past week, so smart that everybody else is stupid. And when you're listening to that stuff, we need to remember that God has given us all that we have, and we've got to pay attention to the words taught by the Spirit. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. That's a problem with the lost folks. They do not understand the language of the Christian. The Christian language is a foreign language to the majority of people within the world. Many will sit in the church, but few will know how to speak the Christian language. Have you ever thought about how you'll hear somebody that, and you know they're not a Christian, they profess not to be a Christian, and then you'll hear them shout, "Hallelujah." You'll hear them say, "Praise the Lord," and mostly it's in mocking. And they have no idea what any of that meant.